up and I see God. I look down and see my dog. Simple spelling, G-O-D. Same word backwards, D-O-G. They would stay with me all day. I'm the one who walks away. But both of them just wait for me and dance at my return with glee. Both love me no matter what, divine God and canine mutt. I take it hard each time I fail, but God forgives, dog wags his tail. God sought up and made the dog. Dog reflects a part of God. I've seen love from both sides now. It's everywhere. Amen. Bow wow. I look up and I see God. I look down and see my my human frailty. I can't match their love for me.
The image of the dog, such an image of unconditional love. Whether or not you're a dog person, it has to touch you at your heart to see such love provided for us. Here you see my dog, Minnow. If you know my family, everything in our family has to do with fish. My husband is a charter boat captain, so here we have Minnow, and our other dog is named Grouper. And I share with you this picture this morning because Minnow does something. Of all the dogs I've had in my life, of all the wonderful little creatures I've had in my house, she does this amazing thing. And that is, whenever we go out of town, we always have the neighbor come over and walk our dogs and let them out. And then when we come back home, Minnow does this incredible thing. Maybe you have a dog at home that does this, but when I come home, she makes the biggest fuss I have ever seen. She yelps and she cries and she jumps, and unless I stop and I put down everything I have all around me, she will literally like climb up onto me. And I swear, if she could get inside me in that moment, she totally would. She just is a one-woman dog, and she loves me, and she just has this huge love. And I wish I had a sound clip of what this sounds like, because literally someone who heard this would probably think there's torture going on in my house because she goes so nuts. But that image of Minnow coming home and receiving me is so powerful to me. It's saying, I feel like she's saying, Monique, I love you and I've missed you and I don't care how long you've been gone. I just want you with me and I am so happy to see you. And to me, that is such a powerful image of unconditional love. This morning, as we receive our scripture, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, such a powerful image of unconditional love for God. That image of unconditional love is centered on that image. We're just coming off of Valentine's Day and into Easter, and so we transfer from the image of the heart to the image of the cross. And what my challenge for you this morning is to view the symbol of love, the symbol of love not as a heart, but as a cross. That as we focus on that love of the cross, that there is that message, that most powerful message of the most unconditional love for God. And it is in this verse that we have for today. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's in that verse. That verse, this verse that we have today, is the first of the seven last words of God, or the seven last phrases of Jesus as he is on the cross in the last 6 hours of his life. These are the words that he said. And so all throughout Lent until Easter, we'll be coming up, we'll be talking about these verses every week, and this is the first one of them. This is the first phrase that he mutters as he's on the cross, and such a powerful image, such powerful words. So interesting that Jesus would say these words, these first words on the, as he's on the cross, as a prayer. Father, forgive them. We know not what they do. These words are such an example of unconditional love for us. But I didn't quite appreciate these words until I came to study for this verse. Of course, Father, forgive them. We know not what they do. Such a beautiful prayer from Jesus, but I didn't quite appreciate it until I put it into context, until I started to study for you today what these words meant. And so, to give you some context and some appreciation for these words, I bring you to the cross, of what it's like to truly experience a crucifixion. This is tough stuff. This is one of the hardest things that I've ever been experiencing as I study. But a crucifixion, what happens during a crucifixion is someone doesn't die from blood loss. When Jesus was up on that cross, he didn't die from a quick death. It was a long death. It was a suffering death. The Romans had figured out the best way to have someone up on a cross so that they would suffer, so that people could see them and know, gosh, I'm not going to do whatever it is they've done. I'm not going to do that. And so when Jesus was up on the cross saying those words of unconditional love, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he was hanging, as we know, from nails in his wrists and in his ankles. And when someone was on the cross like that, they were at such an angle, hunched over, that they couldn't breathe. This is tough stuff, that they couldn't take a deep breath. And so when someone was crucified, they didn't die from blood loss. They died of asphyxiation. They couldn't breathe. And just to breathe at all, to take a deep breath, they would have to raise themselves up on those nails and take a deep breath and then lower themselves back down. We don't think of that often, but that is what happened. And so can you only imagine, in the midst of that pain, that Jesus wanted to share words that were so important to him, that he not only raised himself up, filled his diaphragm up so that he could speak to the crowd around him, but he did so with a prayer. And he did so 7 times. And so it's so important that we listen to those words, that we understand the depth and the act of love that Jesus was sharing on that day when he raised himself up. To the crowd around him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Such a selfless act of love from Jesus in that place. Such an example of Christian love. You can see how the cross, then, is not just a cross, but it's the center and the symbol of love for the Christian faith. And Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who is the them that he's speaking of? Of course, it's the crowd around him. It's the Roman soldiers that were gambling over his clothes. It's the merchants and the money changers that were he had just kicked out of the temple not long ago. It's the priests and the Pharisees who sat there smugly watching this all happen. It's Pontius Pilate who, even though he knew that Jesus did no wrong, allowed this injustice to happen. And as Christians, we believe that it's us. That we were the them. When Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, it's us. We are there. When we sing that hymn, were you there when they crucified my Lord? The answer is yes, that we were there, that we are a part of that story of love that Jesus is acting out on this cross. I can only imagine Tony Campolo has this great vision that Jesus was up on the cross. And in the fullness of time and space, he looked throughout time and space and scanned the crowd and saw us, saw Monique, and said, Father, forgive Monique because she knows not what she does. Father, forgive each one of us because we know not what we are doing. The reality is that we like to forget it, that we like to not think about it, that we do need forgiveness, that we are sinful. Sin is that stuff that separates us from the love of God, that separates us from one another, that gets inside of us and makes it so that we can't love God the way that we're supposed to. And sin is a part of us. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our culture. It's something that we can't get rid of on our own. And I work with the children's in the children's department, and I can tell you that sin starts at a very young age. And so I have a story that I wanted to share with you this morning about me and a time when I can exemplify the fact that sin does indeed start at a young age. I was in kindergarten, and it was Halloween, and I was so excited to be wearing my little tutu on that day. I had my little white tutu with the frilly stuff that sticks straight out, and gold sequins. It was the 80s, so I had gold sequins and, you know, gold and sparkly stuff in the 80s. You were supposed to laugh there. It was funny. So I had the little bun on top of my head and my white tights and my little patent leather shoes, and I was so excited to be in school that day and be a ballerina. And we were on our way to music class, and I had what I thought was the most gorgeous music teacher, Mr. Halliday. And oh, did I have a crush on Mr. Halliday. He was just beautiful. And I was so excited to be there, and we were going to watch a movie in music class on that day. And so we all sat down, and they turned off the lights, and we were watching the movie. And all of a sudden, I realized, I'm going to go to the bathroom. What am I going to do about this? And I sat there, and I tried to hold it, and I tried to hold it. And all of a sudden, this little puddle started emerging all around me. And all of a sudden, Mr. Halliday realized what was going on, and he flipped on the lights, and he said, Monique, did you have an accident? And I looked right at him, and I pointed to the girl right next to me. I did. Your saintly minister did this. And it took me a while before I could even tell the story that happened, that not only did I make a huge mistake like that, but I lied straight to my music teacher's face. And that's just what I did that day, and I had to just deal with that within my own self. But the fact is that we are sinful, that we need freedom from that sin. And the good news is that the gospel that we are learning about this morning, that we study each time we read our gospel, it's that it's not about sin, it's about forgiveness. It's about the good news of Jesus Christ and that love that he represents on that cross. When he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, he's talking about us, about you and me. And it's that amazing love that we share and that we learn about, especially throughout the season of Lent. It's that grace that we are given, that special gift, that amazing love that's within grace that means that no matter what we do, no matter how many times we stumble and fall, no matter how many times we do stupid stuff, he's there. God is there and God is with us. And that's that amazing love that is represented in that grace. When I talk about grace with the kids, I always say it's our holy do-over. It's our chance to start all over again. When we baptize a baby later here in the 11 o'clock service, it's that grace that is there that loves us no matter what. It has nothing to do with us and our own abilities, but it's God's love. So the important thing to remember from that point is that we are sinful and we are in need of forgiveness. And my second point that I wanted to share with you today is that when Jesus was praying this prayer up on the cross in the midst of his pain, he wasn't praying it after the people around him had asked for forgiveness. It was during. While Jesus was experiencing such pain, he prayed this prayer. He asked for forgiveness for them. That's a love that is beyond a love that we might even understand. It's a love that says, no matter what, no matter how much you hurt me, no matter anything in the world, I love you. And I love you no matter what. The closest thing that I have ever felt to that is the love for my boys. This is a picture of Matt and I not long after he was born. And it just reminds me of that unconditional love that God has for us, that Jesus has for us, that knowing, right after having been through childbirth, knowing how rough that was, how hard of an experience it was, that I love that little boy no matter what, and I would do anything in the world for him. As moms who are experiencing that and who have experienced that in your life, I know that you can be there with me in that moment, and anyone can be there with me in that moment, knowing that there is a love that you have that is so strong that no matter what happens, you have that love. And I can imagine God looking down on his son on that cross, thinking, that's my son. I will do whatever it is he asks. And the thing that he asked that morning, that day, was that we are forgiven, that our sins are forgiven. He wasn't thinking about himself on that cross. He was thinking about us. What an amazing symbol and act of love. And the beautiful part is that that love is for you. It's for you and me, because God loves us no matter what. John Wesley called that prevenient grace. It's the love that God has for us that goes before all things. When we baptize the baby later, Owen, we are baptizing him through that love that Jesus loved us even before we took our first breath. That love that he shared in his last breath was a love for us that goes before all things that we do, so that no matter what we do, we have that love for us. But the next thing that is so important to remember is that God forgives us, God loves us no matter what, and that we are to extend that love for others. It's not enough just to know that God loves us. What's most important, or also important, is that we extend that love to others. All throughout his ministry, Jesus shared that message that we are to love our enemies, to ask for, to extend forgiveness to them. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that can be hard to do. It's not easy. Let's be honest. It's a hard thing when someone has hurt us to our core. It is a hard thing to ask for forgiveness and to extend forgiveness. It is hard. But it is what we are called to do. When we extend forgiveness, we feel sometimes like we're giving in, like we're letting go of control. But when we love someone so much, no matter who it is, we have that opportunity, that knowledge that forgiveness is part of that love. It's so important to remember that God calls us to forgive no matter what happens. When I was talking to Troy about giving this sermon on this day, he said, Monique, I have this story for you that I want you to include in your sermon because it's such a powerful story of forgiveness. And that was from this book that the United Methodist Women are reading, The Journey. And even if you haven't read the book, I'm sure you remember in 2006 when there was a shooting in the Amish country, and there were five children who were killed and six who were critically injured by a gunman. And just after it all happened, a leader from the Amish community came out and gave a press conference. And there's just a little bit in here about that. He's asked by the reporter, do you have any anger toward the gunman's family? No, he said. Have you already forgiven them? In my heart, yes. How is that possible? Through God's help. In the midst of Jesus' pain, he forgave us. And in the midst of our pain, of our struggle, we are called to forgive others. But as tough as it is to forgive, it's what we're called to do. And we're not called to forgive because God won't forgive our sins. People have told me that before, but that's not true. God already forgave our sins. That's what Jesus was doing up on the cross. The reason why it's so important to forgive others when they've hurt us is because it will make us so that we can't see that we can be forgiven. If we can't extend grace to others, it's hard for us to know and to understand that God can extend grace to us. After a while, if you can't extend forgiveness to other people, if we can't extend forgiveness to other people, that stuff begins to build up inside of us. It's hard for us to see the beauty in other people. It's hard for us to see the love that we could have for them All these things inside of us, the bitterness and the hard feelings, they build up. And we lose our ability to see the goodness in them. The reality is that being a part of a relationship, whether it's a business relationship or a marriage or a friendship or whatever, we are going to mess up. We will do something stupid at one point in all of our friendships, all of our relationships. We will, each one of us. We're just human. We are sinful people. We are broken. We are in need of God's grace and God's love. And it's important for us to extend that forgiveness to others. When we have marriage counseling at Trinity, we always ask what it's been like for a couple to have a conflict. What happens when they're in a fight, and how do they get through that? Because it's going to happen. It's a part of us having relationships with one another. We are going to hurt one another. But what matters is that we extend forgiveness, that we find a way to love through that. Because if we don't, then we lose the ability and the chance and the opportunity to love people and to have friendships and relationships in our life. But if you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, forgiveness, yeah. Monique, how could God forgive me? How could God know and forgive and love me in my life with all the things that I have done? How could God love me through my stubbornness, through my bitterness, through my lying, through my cheating, through who I am? How could God love me? And I will tell you that the story of Jesus that we are studying today, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This was the worst thing that humanity could do, to kill God's Son on a cross. And in the midst of that, Jesus had so much love for all of humanity, all of creation, that he extended love and forgiveness. That same love and forgiveness is for each one of us. God loves us so much. In a minute, we're going to open the table, that weekly chance that we have to come and to ask for forgiveness and to receive communion and to extend forgiveness to others. We're going to watch a video from Chris Tomlin called Amazing Love, one of my favorite songs. And I ask you, as you come forward, to do two things. If there is something on your heart this morning that God is calling you to ask forgiveness for, I ask you to bring that to the altar. And if there is someone on your heart this morning that God is calling you to forgive, I ask you to bring that to the altar as well. This morning, this season of Lent, is not anything else but an acceptance and appreciation and a love for God. The season of Lent is the true season of love, and the symbol of love is the cross. Let us pray. Gracious God, you love us no matter what. No matter what we do, no matter how many times we mess up, you love us. We are so, so thankful for that this morning. We ask that you be with us. We ask that you help us to feel you in this moment. We ask that you help us to extend that forgiveness and that love to others. Because we do want to love others. We do want to have good relationships, good friendships, good marriages, good support systems, good business friendships. But it's hard sometimes. It's hard to forgive. And we ask you in this moment that you would give us the peace and the remembrance that you forgave us no matter what. And so we should extend that forgiveness to others. Help us always to keep our eyes focused on the symbol of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.